Okay, grandkids, this is Stunt Granny Audio 734. And Chris asked a very important question after I got a text from Jeremy Mays. He said, I hate Cora Jade. And your response, Chris?
How the hell could you hate Cora Jade? What the hell's the matter with him? Why don't you text Jeremy back? NXT Black and Gold is dead and gone. Cry some more about it. That's what Chris says.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to assume that he does not like the pluckiness of one Cora Jade. Like, there's still something to me missing there, I suppose, with her, with me buying into her. I definitely see what they see in her and why she's getting pushed. And I do not in any, I guess, remote way hate her. That word would not be used in on a podcast or in text for me. Oh, but anyway, Stunt Granny Audio 734, starting like a Kevin and Jeremy show. Hey, it's a Chris and Kevin show. That means we are normally covering the fun stuff on SmackDown, Rampage occasionally, and in Raw. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with apparently the WWE Championship and the Universal Championship are going to be unified at WrestleMania, except there's a lot of reason to speculate that that they won't stay that way for long.
Yes, I was quite amused when I saw that report that they're like, there's going to be a unification match, but they're going to have championships on both brands. And I'm like, do you have problems with words, people? Like,
yeah.
like they're just, I get that words evolve and sometimes gain different meanings. But unification is not not one that should really have any change in what it is, really.
No. And you know, unification means there's one champion and one belt.
Oh, man. Yeah, I suppose, well, it'll be interesting to see which way they go with it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, would they want to rebrand the Universal Championship? Or do they want to get rid of the WWE Championship? That one would seem unlikely to me.
Yeah, no, that's the one that goes back to 1963. I wouldn't say that. I could see them getting rid of the Universal Championship. I could see them bringing back the big gold or calling a championship something else. But that is still such a cop out. For trying to promote a match as the biggest WrestleMania match ever.
Yeah.
And putting it on the graphic. They put it on the graphic, Kevin.
Well, and that was the other thing. When I was watching SmackDown, I'm like, oh, I don't think that was on the graphic on Monday.
They can't fit much else on that graphic now, my God. Biggest WrestleMania match ever. Championship unification match. Winner take all championship unification.
Oh, man. Yeah, it feels like I'm reading a magic card when I'm reading that that poster. good God. yeah, it's a pretty lame play if they don't really unify the championships. There's just no good way to put it. Because I suppose they could just have someone, be Brock and or Roman two belts and just have them, lose one or the other.
Yeah. They're setting themselves up for quite the disaster here. And it's completely unnecessarily. Does title for title or title unification really add that much to this match?
Oh, no. This is another one where we were kind of talking last week about Bianca and Becky having a nice long-term storytelling. They've done a great job with the long-term storytelling of this feud.
Yeah, they have. Yes.
Title unification doesn't really add much. Does it add something? Sure. It does. To me, it does. You don't need it. That's like the whipped cream and cherry on top of the sundae.
Yeah, if they have no intention of following through on it, then no. granted,
yeah,
in a problem of their own making, there really isn't a quality WWE championship to be had over on Monday Night Raw. Especially since they knew apparently since January, right after the Royal Rumble, not far long after, that Lashley was going to need shoulder surgery and be out for 4 months.
No.
So, yeah, their options were incredibly limited as far as a WWE Championship match for WrestleMania. And, it would be second or third from the top on night one. So, if they did just pick two people and put them in a WWE Championship match, so I get it. But once again, it's a problem of their own. It's a problem of their own creation, and how that they have just defined down everyone else, every other male superstar except for Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns.
Oh, yeah. There's just like you said, that stratosphere for those two is. Well maintained. Everyone else, oof. You better know how to take some L's. Because you definitely are. And you're going to look, even if you look really good like Seth Rollins, you're just still not the same level as Reigns and or Lesnar.
Well, we saw what happened when Seth Rollins was the first person eliminated from the Elimination Chamber.
Oh, yep. That definitely happened. Oh, man. And now he's maybe possibly doing a tag team thing at WrestleMania. I guess I'm trying to figure out what else. Because Brock and Roman had that segment on. It was SmackDown, wasn't it, with the contract signing?
Yeah, I'm fairly certain at this point all their interactions are going to be on SmackDown from here on.
Obviously, you don't really want them interacting all that much in between. So, yeah, the segment was well done, and I enjoyed it. And hey, Brock Lesnar throwing people around is always fun, right?
That was a lot of fun. Just that one guy who kind of put up his dukes and tried to act tough, and Brock flung that chair at him. And Brock did not care whether he threw it at him wheels first. It didn't really look like.
Yeah, that that one fluffy, even though it was a fluffy chair, I'm like, that looks kind of nasty.
And then that same guy had to move the microphone out of the way because Lord knows Brock was wasn't going to be careful.
Yeah, that was the other foot. Like, even a couple of the suplexes is just like Brock wasn't looking where other people were, and then some of the guys just had to clear out so that someone at least landed on their shoulders, hopefully, from a Brock suplex. It was some fun chaos. Sometimes it's a little too perfunctory with the jobber beat ups. Brock made that far more enjoyable than it normally is. But yeah, I mean, Roman and him really shouldn't have a whole lot of physical interaction between then and now. So it's a nice way to spend a week of build up since we, oh man, another, they said 5 weeks on Raw, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we still got some time, and I'm sure we'll get some video packages out of those two also, and maybe a Brock versus Usos match or something wild. Who knows? I'm trying to think of what else happened. Oh. I guess we could talk about the need for the multi celebrity matches now at WrestleManias, now that there are two nights of WrestleManias now. Is it 3 years running?
Yeah, this is the third year, but this is going to be the most stupendous one, yeah.
Well, yes, it's got to be the most stupendous one. So, Johnny Knoxville had definitely hung around Sami Zayn long enough, and it looks like we're getting a Sami Zayn Johnny Knoxville one-on-one matchup at one of these nights here for a stupendous WrestleMania.
Yeah, definitely. I'm hoping that all these rumors of a big push for Ricochet aren't true, and they don't just have Ricochet win the Intercontinental title on SmackDown on Friday, because, oh my god, Johnny Knoxville challenging for the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. it's the match we deserve. and it should be big time fun. I have no issues with Johnny Knoxville's involvement, because he's gonna give it everything he's got.
Yes, that guy, he knows how to take a bump. I don't think he's gonna have too much of a problem in that department. But yeah, him. Oh man, that would be weird. Him against Ricochet. I think that Sami Zayn could do a much better job of working a match.
No, it would just be that the Sami Zayn Johnny Knoxville match.
Oh, it's not
the title.
Ow.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, yeah, that. I guess it's weird if Ricochet gets a push. I felt like that ship had sailed.
Yeah. But allegedly now, on internal documents, I don't know how people get a hold of them, say that Ricochet is now considered the number two babyface on SmackDown after Drew McIntyre. Because you see, Big E is teaming with Kofi. And I guess Nakamura and Boogs are going to be considered a regular tag team now. So the other two people, the only two people that you would put in that hemisphere with McIntyre are in tag teams for some reason, leaving Ricochet to be number two.
I don't even know what to say.
Oh, Cody Rhodes, please, but please come and save us, our three-star savior.
No. Man, yeah, I do think that Ricochet's promos have gotten marginally better.
Yes, marginally.
Still not a good talker, really, though. And they haven't let him back it up in the ring a lot recently.
No.
But it did really feel like the way his part of that segment worked, it really did seem like they were getting ready to push him. I didn't see anything about any internal documents, but I was 100% scratching my head when he got involved in that backstage segment later. So yeah, it's Johnny Knoxville at the, yeah, that should be pretty fun. Well, this is an interesting one. You kind of mentioned tag teams. I did not foresee Sasha Banks and Naomi teaming up and going after the women's championships that, quite frankly, I had forgotten about.
Yeah, no, I didn't know if I necessarily saw it like that, but, you know, Sasha, Naomi's been getting a push. There's really no other spot for them, so put them together. And, you know, the match is official. It's, you know, we're in the early stages of putting this WrestleMania, this two-night WrestleMania card together, and the women's tag title match is one of the matches that is actually official.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, when you kind of looked at the landscape, you're like, well, okay, yeah, we have Bianca and Becky on the Raw side, and you have Charlotte and Ronda on the SmackDown side, and that leaves Sasha just sitting there doing nothing, especially with no Bayley in sight here. It does look like Bayley will be out at least until WrestleMania, I would think, at this juncture.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see a spot for Bayley or Asuka or Lacey Evans, for that matter, before WrestleMania opening up. No. You don't want to bring even Lacey. You don't really want to bring any of them back just to be in a battle royal. So you might as well save them for after. Whether they're, you know, obviously that's assuming that they're still ready.
Yeah. So yeah, that's I wasn't surprised by the outcome of the situation. Like you said, both the Sasha is still very popular, and Naomi got the pinfall in at least in a tag team match over why am I blanking on Sonya Deville's name? But I was there for a moment. It gives, like I said, I really had forgotten. I don't know if Carmella is too busy filming Corey and Carmella, or if something else popped up that made Queen Zelina Vega not available. Because I feel like she's kind of been the missing link, honestly, but maybe I'm wrong. So yeah, it'll be a decent way to use all of them in a match at WrestleMania. Like you said, there's a lot of card to fill, because we're definitely still getting Baron Corbin versus Drew McIntyre.
I thought that maybe, just maybe, someone had come to their senses and just blown the match off on SmackDown, but nope.
Man.
That was a cruel tease.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. I'm not sure I would call this a cruel tease. When Edge came out at the end of Raw to get his challenge answered, I've got to admit, my head went to Cody Rhodes. I'm like, did they save this for the main event for Cody Rhodes to come out here?
Yeah, no, I didn't say that. It didn't cross my mind, but I also wasn't thinking that Edge was going to turn that strong heel. I was not expecting heading into this.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting choice.
Yeah, it is. But they did. Here's the thing. They turned AJ Styles' face. I know that you may not even. Some people may not even have noticed it. But it was one of those deals where a heel gets beat up by his running buddy. And then he's a de facto babyface, even though he never really did anything, you know,
yeah,
respectable to turn the Randy Orton turn out of Evolution that killed him for years, basically. That type of turn.
Right.
Yeah. So they were kind of doing that to AJ. Edge has been a babyface for his, you know. He teased his a little bit going back to the dark side heading into WrestleMania last year, but you know pulled him back, and he you know had the match with Roman over the summer, and Seth, and then the Miz thing. It makes sense that someone needed to be a heel here. They needed to make it personal. Just let's go out and have a good match. Wasn't gonna cut it. And, you know, they did a real hardcore angle. You know, it was well done, other than Edge's acting when he has to go to that dark place. And, you know, it's a lot of that, you know, the facial expressions, stuff like that they've done more and more. And, you know, especially, you know, during the empty arena era, they were relying on that kind of, you know, acting. To get through shows. I wasn't the biggest fan of Edge and his torture, his internal torture over what he was doing. Just do it. just at this point, just be proud of yourself.
Yeah, like you've done enough damage at this point to not have lingering regrets about what you're doing.
Yeah. So no, I'm all for them, you know, making this match personal. Edge has always been better as a heel. You know, AJ can do both effectively, but it's time for him to be a babyface again, I guess. So yeah, it should definitely. Where this card is going, I mean, from the spectacle entertainment factor, there's a lot going on in the fire. As far as what could be like the big, you know, work rate matches, you know, the guys going out there putting the work in. This match really needs to deliver.
Yeah, this is, I'll tell you what, even though obviously AJ Styles is one of the older guys on the roster, this is one of those matches, I feel like we've talked about it a little bit, about like how we didn't expect Edge to just be rehashing old feuds.
Yeah.
When he came back, like him against AJ is definitely one of those ones where I was just like, man, yeah, this is something that, like, to me, when Edge came back, I wanted to see him against AJ Styles.
Yeah, if the 2006 to 2011 versions of themselves at any point in that 5-year period when they faced each other, then oh my god, that would have been something.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that is never going to come true at this point. So we'll do, I think you're right. Like, I think they put their best foot forward, and we've already mentioned it. You have 5 weeks to work with. Like, you needed something. I would imagine that AJ Styles will be out for this coming week.
Yeah, it's definitely 2 or 3 weeks before we see AJ again, yes. And as it should, of course.
Yeah. And maybe Edge can do some gloating in the meantime.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's it should be a fun one. It definitely, with it just being AJ Styles, I did feel, I've got to admit, I felt a lot better about not attending Raw this week. Despite the fact that I was in that very arena the evening before to watch my beloved Pittsburgh Penguins win some ice hockey. I guess I didn't think that Raw was bad at all.
No. Raw has been fairly good for a little while now. Since the draft. Raw has been better. While SmackDown does have Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar most weeks, Raw does have a stronger roster top to bottom, particularly in the middle, which it needs it because of the third hour. But the scale, we mentioned it over and over, the scale of quality definitely shifted.
One of the other interesting choices on Raw, it was a little bit shocking to me to see Finn Balor win the Intercontinental Championship away from Damian Priest.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by it. I mean, maybe not necessarily hugely surprised, but no, it was a good match, and we finally do have after the match over, the official heel turn of Damian Priest, which if they're going to keep doing what they were doing with him, he needed to be a heel. Oh. They've been teasing him going heel, feels like, since at least Survivor Series when he had that match with Nakamura. And he went crazy, but then went back to fighting heels every week. And it didn't really make sense. Now it all can make sense. These two can have a rematch at WrestleMania. If Finn wants to bring the demon back, I guess they could do that. Although I think that time for that gimmick has come and gone. But we'll see what they do.
You can definitely see them salivating over the Damien versus Damien.
I didn't even think about it in those terms. Yes. That's exactly what they're going to do. It's got to be that on the nose. Yeah, absolutely. That's very WWE style, yes.
Yeah, that is like a giant side of beef just hanging in front of Mr. McMahon. Like, it seems too obvious.
Speaking of giant slabs of beef hanging in front of Mr. McMahon, Austin Theory decided to poke the bear a little bit with Mr. McMahon in regards to his upcoming appearance on the Pat McAfee show.
Oh, and that is another rumor that has been out there.
Yes.
That does need to be addressed, I suppose.
Yeah.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon versus Pat McAfee. If I'm not mistaken, allegedly, this is the matchup.
Allegedly, that is what has been rumored and speculated. Vince McMahon is 76 years old. Pat McAfee has had two matches in his past. I'll believe it when I see it. This stays one-on-one. Obviously, Austin Theory is already poking his head in. So, at the very least, there's going to be a lot of smoke and mirrors involved here.
Yeah, like, that's one where I'm like, okay, I know you guys need to fill two nights, but this is a weird one for me.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that Pat McAfee would ever have a match again. It just sucks that I guess for one of the two nights he's not going to be able to be on commentary. Which he's the only commentator who actually adds to the broadcast he's on anymore, it seems.
Oh man, yeah. Corey and Byron being back together has not been a good thing.
No, for a while they were just. The three-man booth on Raw was just innocuous, but last night it really felt like Corey Graves was back on all of his bullshit. yelling at his partners, telling them to shut up, calling them stupid while they don't do anything about it. Once again, as we said, you know, Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon never did that to each other. Vince and Jesse never did that to each other. Ross and Lawler never did that to each other. Corey Graves does not actually understand what his job is. He did, but he just doesn't care anymore. Because early in his run, he was, I think, pretty good, especially on NXT.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a line between banter and ribbing someone and just being mean-spirited.
Yeah,
about the whole situation.
It's not pleasant to listen to, you know. And look how much better Michael Cole is with a broadcast partner who actually understands the differences between banter and just actually just being obnoxious and angry sounding and mean spirited to each other. Yeah, and yeah. Commentary. It really might be the worst part of wrestling in the last 15 years.
It's
what quality has fallen the most?
It's pretty rough. Because I mean, it's not like I even would profess any love over on the AEW side of things.
If they got rid of Ross, I think it would be a lot better. But I have a bad feeling they're just gonna re-sign him for millions of dollars again, just to be miserable every week.
Yeah, it definitely feels that way.
It does not feel like they're not happy with him. They still see that his name value and the sound of his voice is more valuable than the content that's actually coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, which it really is one of those weird ones, considering like the level of wrestling nerd fandom. And the commentators go, I am honestly surprised that Jim Ross doesn't get more shit than he does. Because he could be the most unbearable announcer currently. Like,
yeah, he is just crapping all over his own show constantly. It's belittling everything, questioning everything. Yes, we know, JR. The referees are made to look like fools in AEW. We can see it. You don't have to keep pointing it out. They announced time limits just to try and make you happy, and that still didn't work. And even had some time limit draws. That's still not. He's still not happy.
Oh yeah, it's rough, and that was definitely a downside to staying home instead of being live at Raw. I would not have needed to hear the commentators there.
But yeah, back to Vince and Pat allegedly having a match at WrestleMania. You know, when Pat did wrestle, when he had the match with Adam Cole. Pat, when doing the football tackle stuff and the clotheslines, he was pretty damn physical. And, of course, he was wrestling a top-level wrestler who had no problem taking it. Vince McMahon, as I said, is 76 years old.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where I'm sitting there going, I love the Cobra Kai. But Kreese and his buddy there who were in the Vietnam War, I sit there and I go, could my dad do any of this stuff? He was in the Vietnam War. He's their age. Nah, this shit ain't happening, man. And just anything that Vince would be required to do right now, I'm like, the moment I saw that rumor, I'm like, it makes all the sense in the world, because who are we talking about? Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
But B, doesn't make any sense in the world, because, like you correctly point out, he's a 76-year-old man. Like,
yeah. It's just real, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, throw out whatever you can at the wall for my entertainment, for my $9.99's worth. This is the show I'm watching from $9.99 for Polo Wife. in a few months after that, Money in the Bank. That's the show I'm actually gonna pay to see live and in person. How much more? Obviously they brought Brock back last year. They brought Ronda back. They're doing the Johnny Knoxville thing. They're doing the Logan Paul thing. Still the rumors and speculation about Stone Cold Steve Austin either having a full match or having a significant physical involvement, which that seems pretty obvious at the very least. You know, him and Kevin Owens are gonna have a physical confrontation, if not a match. What more is Vince adding other than people being scared to death that they're actually going to watch a man die?
Yeah, that's the part that I have the biggest problem with. Like, it doesn't add any value to it. It just really doesn't. Like, you're just afraid for the... It's the same thing. Like, this is why I don't want to see Ric Flair wrestle. It's the same thing. I'm like, you're an old, frail man. Like, leave that up. I'm sorry, athletics are for younger people. You know, there's just a time to take off, and your body can't really do it. I don't care how good a shape Vince is in. This is weird, but having Austin Theory prod him the way he did about Pat McAfee definitely made you just sit there and go, oh, that match is happening. Like, that rumor is definitely true. Like, that, I guess that was the first thing that happened to me when I was watching that segment.
You know, and part of me is actually disappointed that Vince isn't actually going on Pat McAfee's show to do a serious interview. Because Vince hasn't done one in, like, 20 years. Or at least since whatever he was that he sat, not 20 years ago, when he sat down with Steve Austin to do their live podcast deal. You know, I'd be interested in hearing what Pat could get out of, because, God, Lord, what Pat got out of Brock Lesnar, you know, a few weeks back, you know, the most you know, in-depth, you know, interview Brock's ever done. Instead, they're going to turn it into a clown show, and I'm like, yeah, that's kind of disappointing to me.
I did not end up listening to the Brock interview at all. But Pat does seem to do a good job. Like, I didn't pay any mind to that Aaron Rodgers drama about the whole not getting vaccinated thing, but I believe that came out on Pat's show. The guy seems to have a knack to get stuff out there.
Yeah, he does.
So I would assume that despite not having ever listened to his show, that he's at least a fairly good interviewer. And I guess I'd be with you. Like, it would be more, it would probably be more interesting to hear him talk to Vince about the state of the product or kind of other things rather than just making it a work angle the whole time.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe we will get a little bit of actual stuff before they go into the into the work stuff. I guess you kind of brought him up. Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, at least for now, locked into the whole tag team situation with Alpha Academy. Is it maybe the Street Profits now also?
No, well, RK-Bro was in the triple threat match, but Randy Orton seemed to get both the wind knocked out of him, and one of Montez's knees hit him in the head. Not a good night for Mr. Ford or Mr. Orton. That Montez Ford is an incredible athlete. That's obvious. He's got to be more careful, you know. It's amazing how high he gets, but he's got to have control of his body when he jumps up that high.
It's one of those it works both ways kind of situations.
So I guess Randy Orton may be questionable for this match they've been promoting for 2 weeks.
Because that's supposed to take place on Raw this coming Monday, if I'm not mistaken.
My thinking is, you know, some major stuff is going to happen within that match. Between whatever they're doing with Kevin Owens, whatever they're doing with Seth Rollins, if RK-Bro is going to break up and fight each other at WrestleMania, all these things could come to a head in this match. There's a reason that they've taken a tag team title match and built it up so much. Big stuff is going to happen in the body and at the end of this match.
Yeah, they haven't done this much work for a tag team match, and at least for the Alpha Academy, just really seems to be catching this belated crest of popularity here.
With Gable just completely, once again, I've mentioned it before, just completely copying, 2000 Kurt Angle. Maybe Chad Gable really is Kurt Angle's son. Instead of Jason Jordan. I don't know. It's amazing.
Yes, he is definitely doing his best Kurt Angle impersonation. The only thing he needs to do is chug some milk to really lay it in there.
Alpha Academy has been a surprise hit. I do see them retaining their title in this situation, and I guess I would imagine the Street Profits might then be the top contenders for a WrestleMania match, because I'm still assuming that Seth and Kevin Owens are going to have separate singles matches at WrestleMania, and then, once again, as I said, RK-Bro might split up in feud. As I said, some big stuff's planning on happening in this match. So hopefully Randy Orton gets clearance. Yeah, for it.
It will be interesting to see what happens. Like you said, there seems to be a lot of things that are going to go down. What they are exactly is pretty shrouded. But it does seem like that match has been about as hyped as anything that, it's almost pay-per-view level hyped.
Yeah.
On Raw. So that'll be pretty interesting. I don't know. I guess, is it worth talking about Logan Paul and the Mysterios? Because it looks like that's the last big thing that we haven't really talked about, unless Tommaso Ciampa and Robert Roode is something we want to talk about.
Not particularly. Well, let's see. Well, we didn't really talk about the ladies, other than Sasha and Naomi. Bianca Belair whipped a dog out of...
Oh my god, yeah. I don't know how I could almost skip that. They've done that a lot recently, to me at least, where they put it out on Twitter where it's just like, this is what happened to me in a match. That first time that Bianca hit Becky with her braid, I thought that they had put audio in there. Like, it sounded so cartoony that I thought that it had to have been sweetened. But then Becky showed her stomach after that, and you're like, oh my god, that was that first one. There's like that ginormous red welt. I was just like, holy smokes. Oh, man, that was some nasty-looking stuff. You could tell the other two weren't quite as bad, but she definitely got her pretty good with that. And, Becky had been working the hair all match, so it made sense that it came down to that.
Yeah, no, and I don't think we've heard the end of this either. We're either going to get, at least one of three things is going to happen. Number one, we're going to get an angle where Becky gets some shears and actually clips the ponytail in the build-up to WrestleMania. Two, Bianca's hair is going to be put up in the match. Or three, they're gonna have Becky do a deal where she's got her lawyer gets. She says that she's gonna get her lawyers involved and have an injunction filed to cancel this match unless Bianca Belair's ponytail is deemed an illegal foreign object that she can't use, or she has to put her hair in a bun or something for the match.
Yeah, hey man, that's a fair enough way to go. If you want to do that. That's a hell of a bump to take to get to that angle.
Yeah, no, no.
It's not like a bump, but again, yowzers.
No, I mean, they made the ponytail the center of attention for a reason, so I do think that they're going to keep going with this. It'd be disappointing if they didn't.
Oh, yeah.
So I do think that I think the last thing I mentioned, the having the ponytail declared a foreign object, or Becky's gonna not do the match. I think that can certainly make for some good TV.
Yeah, and I don't feel like we've had too much of that recently, so that would be a fairly fun angle to run if they decide to do that.
Yeah.
What else happened? Was there anything else that happened within that match with the ladies?
Nothing really. I mean, Bianca won by pinning Nikki Ash, as you would expect. Nothing too crazy there.
A big pop for you when Tamina and Akira Tozawa kissed.
Not really, no. I don't care about any of this 24/7 stuff. We got 3 years of this.
The 24/7 title has only been around for 3 years.
Really? I'm thinking, oh my god, is this ever going to end? And you're thinking, eh, it hasn't been that long.
I can't believe it's only been 3 years, to be honest with you.
Well, that makes sense, then, yes.
Oh. It's...
Well, I guess we're saying the same thing differently.
Yeah, I don't... It's rough. It's content, but it's just like, okay, yep, that just happened. Still don't know what Reggie brings to the table that some of the release people, don't, but you know, hey, that's where we are. I guess it will be kind of interesting. I feel like, because most of the women's stuff is locked down, it'll be interesting to see what they do with some of these other women. Like, Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan have both kind of looked good recently. They've done their best, at least. Nikki Ash and Doudrop have taken entirely too many losses. They have gotten a lot of TV time, though.
Yeah, I could see a Battle Royal duty for them, whether that ends up, but that will most likely even end up on the pre-show, or even, they just like they did last year, they'll put it on the SmackDown the night before. Because they still got that SmackDown the night before that you really don't want your WrestleMania competitors wrestling on that show. Because God forbid somebody gets hurt on a day or two's notice.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to have some people, wrestling on Raw, but that's at least, five or six days away. So I can imagine like they did last year, they'll put some matches on that SmackDown and call it WrestleMania SmackDown, which actually seemed like the idea actually worked last year.
Oh. them cutting back, at least on the length of the individual WrestleManias, you kind of always... I felt like they always tried to force people onto the WrestleMania, like that Dallas card, the infamous first Dallas card that we went to, where you just felt like there were just too many people being forced onto the show. When you move it to two shows, it helps a lot. I guess this year it'll be kind of interesting because they've shed so many talents.
Yeah,
that SmackDown before WrestleMania, they might be in need of a little more star power than they needed last year. Like, their roster is a little bit thinner than it used to be. Because I guess women that that did pop back up, I mean, Shotzi was on that list. Not that I expect her to be really doing a whole lot of anything for WrestleMania, honestly.
No, she did pop back up. She did the loss to Sasha. Hopefully after WrestleMania they can do something with her. I wouldn't mind seeing them just once again bringing back the tank and going babyface, but obviously, she has been through hell in this last year, losing her stepdad and her dad, and apparently a back injury issue, which not surprising considering some of the bumps that she has taken over the years, particularly on the independent scene with her suicide dive into rows and rows of chairs.
Yeah, she really tosses her body around. I am not surprised if she has had some injury issues. And when I saw that the second, I was like, I love my dads, and I'm like, huh? What's the situation? You clarified it for me, and that is brutal to lose your father and your stepfather within a calendar year of each other.
Yeah, that's really rough for her, yeah.
God bless, and I hope good things are in her future. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I guess a battle royal is the only thing, but that's not something that's exactly going to get me to worry about that SmackDown before two-night WrestleMania. Now is just kind of rough. Like you've got to really be in for the product, knowing that you're going to watch another 8 hours of WWE television the following 2 days.
Yeah.
And that's not even counting, because what, isn't NXT is Saturday during the day now, correct?
Yeah, NXT is Saturday during the day. Yeah, that's going to be... I might have to delay my viewing of that one. We'll see how everything's going. I mean, look, judging by what I did see on NXT tonight, they're doing Bron Breakker versus Dolph Ziggler versus Ciampa next week as a triple threat match. So that gets both of them out of the way. So if they do run with Bron Breakker versus Gunther at Stand and Deliver, I believe it's called, that I might go out of my way to see.
That would be a fun match. Because was he taking on... it was Gunther and Solo Sikoa. Was that not supposed to be tonight?
Yeah, that was tonight, yes.
Okay. Cool. I know that it's taped and I will be watching it. That is the other upside. I did not realize this until maybe about a month ago that Peacock has all of the NXT shows on about 24 hours after NXT airs.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, that was a whole separate deal that got where NXT was all, of course, was always on the WWE Network, and then they did the full, you know, 90 minutes without commercials of NXT. Whereas on Hulu, it's only an hour. You get an hour with about 15-20 minutes worth of actual, actually 30 minutes worth of actual stuff cut out of it.
I did not realize that. I have not tried to watch it on Hulu. just on the Peacock there. So, yeah, it's the full thing. You get some little commercials in there, but it does kind of flow through pretty quick. I want to say that you can wrap it up in a little over 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is pretty nice. So I have been catching it a lot that way, too. I'm trying to think. I didn't pull up, is there anything else in the world of WWE that I have neglected to talk about?
I think we're pretty good with WWE.
And I guess I was going to pull up Rampage just to see if there was anything worth talking about here. I mean, I guess I like the Britt Baker Thunder Rosa contract signing stuff.
Yeah, that was really well done. You know, Britt having to take, you know, the majority of the talking is expected. You know, seeing this, you know, Thunder Rosa isn't much of a talker. It's really well done. I think they could possibly have done more with these two, considering the fact that the Revolution is on Saturday. I mean Sunday, excuse me.
Yeah, so strange that they're popping from Saturdays to Sundays, and the WWE seems to be doing the opposite half of the time now.
Yeah. In some ways, it feels like they may have dropped the ball with Britt and Thunder Rosa, but you know they had a good contract signing segment, and they'll obviously interact at least once or twice during Dynamite and Rampage this week. So once again, I know you'll talk about more with Jeremy, but no, Revolution card is pretty stacked.
Yeah, I haven't even really taken a look at the full thing, so I'll have to. Is it Lance Archer and Adam Page? Is that the champion?
No. It's Page and Adam Cole.
Oh yeah, it's Cole. Why was I? Oh, that was the last pay-per-view, I suppose.
Well, I mean, it does feel like the title match is actually being overshadowed by at least two other matches on the card, with Punk and MJF and Danielson versus Moxley.
Yeah, well, Jeremy and I talked about that weirdness with MJF. Some people saying screw context, it was good promo, so whatever, just accept it. I don't like you people. I saw one of my friends from back home retweet that sentiment. I'm just like, nah, guys, this has got to make sense in a story here. I'm sorry. That's what
it's
you're doing.
It's going to make sense, though.
Huh?
Let it play out.
Oh, yeah, it still could make sense. It still could, but at least for the time being, it seems weird and incomplete, and I still don't have any reason to really believe MJF, especially due to the fact that I don't believe he played football, because he's smaller than most of the kids that played at the terrible high school that I lived near for 15 years, especially the ones that played linebacker. And I did have to laugh that yet again, you know, the one thing that the main event is always the first match, Sammy Guevara versus Andrade. There are not a whole lot of people from the WWE that have moved over that have found themselves in a better situation than they were in the WWE. Andrade, I don't even know what to say about his character this whole arc.
He's a square peg in a round hole in AEW. There's been nothing there for him. You know what? Maybe he's not as good as... Some of it's him not being as good as, you know, certainly as he was booked in NXT, definitely. It's not good. Like with Matt, you know, it feels like they're building to Matt Hardy turning babyface so that he can team with his brother Jeff when he gets there, and then you're gonna leave Andrade with the jobber stable.
Which doesn't do anything for him. Like, it's just like, ugh. It's one of those things I'm like, ooh, man. I remember the great old days with Zelina Vega and Andrade. Oh, yeah. And now it's just like, ooh, man. This House of Hardy stuff is just or Hardy Family Office.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yes.
Ugh, even worse. Yeah, Andrade just really seems lost there. I guess I would wager to say that Jon Moxley is in a better spot. Granted, I will always say that the WWE pretty much pushed him to the moon outside of, you know, not being Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar or John Cena at the time. But yeah, Moxley might be the only other one. Because what's his name? Just had too many visa issues to be that much of a. Pac has just been too inconsistent to get anything really rolling. Miro's been gone for Lord only knows how long at this point.
Yeah, he must really be hurt. Yeah, that's the only thing I'm thinking about. Yeah.
I've been over Sean Spears more times than I feel like counting, so I'm not even going to wager any more breath on him.
So have most people he's ever wrestled.
He's a great hand. Fabulous, Edge. I'm glad you're a Hall of Famer. But your buddy can't seem to get over to save his goddamn life. Yeah, anyway, that was the main thing that I was thinking there with Andrade. Like, I'm with you. Like, he really seems like a square peg, and there are only round holes around there. And he just... Yeah, he's not... The other Mexican athletes were already kind of taken with Pac, and that didn't really work. The thing with... I don't know why they didn't make it work with Chavo Guerrero, if they wanted to go that route.
Well, it's because Chavo sucks, that's why.
Well, there is that part.
And they were obviously going to bring in Andrade's father-in-law, but the real world kind of got in the way of that.
Yeah, that really blew up that angle. But I'm not sure that really would have helped him out at all.
I don't know if they would have fit together. Either as a manager protege unit, he seemed to only work well with not even just a female valet, a specific person in that role.
Yes, yeah, him and Zelina really seemed to fit well. And once that got taken away, things have not gone his route.
No.
At all.
Not anywhere, no.
So, okie dokie. Anything else to cover before moseying on out of this here podcast?
No, I think we're good.
Okie doke. Belt Time Beer. Another one our fine friend Jeremy Mays sent to me. From Triple C Brewing down in Charlotte, North Carolina. Their double flat brim hazy double IPA. It is pretty fantastic. It has a little more bitter edge than I normally like. But it does have a whole lot of tropical taste to it. Because the hazies tend to lean that way. There's not as much bitterness just because of the way that they're brewed. So that's why I like them a lot. But this one does have a little bit of that edge, which makes it a little more interesting than most hazy IPAs. So thumbs up to this double hazy IPA sent to me from Granny Mays. That is the hashtag Belltime Beer of the show. I am at DeFrango11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us anywhere, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.